StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the world's first internet radio station dedicated to startups and tech companies. Today, I have for you guys a very special guest who also received the special awards of the German Startup Awards 2021. Hey, Lukas, how are you doing?
Good. I'm doing great. Great to be here with you.
It's totally my pleasure. I have to admit, many people outside will not know you personally, but totally the companies we will be talking about soon, which is also the reason I do believe you got this special award. And as the most people who are following this podcast can already tell, this is a special episode in media partnership with the German Startup Awards. Let us get a little bit into who you are, because there's a lot out to find about you, at least in German. You are one of Handelsblatt's 50 most interesting founders. You're one of Wirtschaftswoche 100 most important people in the internet in Germany. And you won the special awards of the German Startup Association 2021. So that is quite a lot, but you've been active quite a lot as well. My understanding is we can start where you studied in Paderborn, very, very close to the area where I grew up in Mannheim, the Handelshochschule Leipzig, aka HHL, plus you spent some time at Georgia Tech. Can you tell us a little bit about you and pick up somewhere there? Because I do believe there's a special occasion in the library of the University of Mannheim we're going to talk about, right?
Yes, we can. The first successful company that I started, but also there were special occasions in Paderborn, the first non-successful companies I started, the first very valuable learnings, HHL, all of these universities, there were special moments for me. Yeah, but I think what might be interesting for the audience is that basically the selection of where to study already was with the goal in mind to become an entrepreneur. So Paderborn, most of you will not know it. It's a small city in North Rhine-Westphalia, and they're very well ranked for computer science and business double major. Yeah? And they're ranked so great for that because they just have like amazing computer science students and curriculum. And that's why I studied there, to prepare myself with some technology innovation, double major. One of them is like technology innovation. The other one is business. So the sort of like the content, the product, which is the technology, and the craftsmanship, the MBA part, so to say, to become an entrepreneur. And so this explains my where I studied, why I studied. And all of these universities have been exceptional in one or the other things. I enjoyed Georgia Tech a lot. It was also my first time in the United States. And yeah, prepared me to become what I proudly can say today is a successful entrepreneur, yeah.
I was already hinting at this special moment at a university library in Mannheim. From the interviews I've heard and seen before when I prepared for this interview, you founded Spreadshirt, your first successful, as you said, startup in the university library there. Can you take us a little bit through your thought process there?
Yeah. So like, again, it starts with the general pattern. When you expose yourself to situations where you can get ideas. Yeah. So if you want to have ideas about science and technology, expose yourself to something that is related, to that. Yeah. And then one big question for wannabe entrepreneurs is like, what's the right business idea? What should I found? So if you expose yourself to real world problems, then you find real world situations, so to say, you find solutions. Yeah. All of us have experience with eating food, for example. Yeah. That's why so many people who want to start a business have restaurant type of ideas. Yeah. For me, it was like during, while still at my first university, I was working as a student consultant. Okay. There's you can imagine like a consulting company comprised out of students. Yeah. And this exposes you to real world problems. How to build a team, what the customers want, etc. And one of my clients was a textile printing company. And this is where I learned about text printing textile, printing t-shirts. And I've seen the problem. I saw the problem and I saw the solution. The problem was like single pieces. Yeah. So unique pieces, a unique print, fast turnaround, high quality. And, this is ages ago, 20 years back then, digital printing was not what it is today. So the stuff that you receive was really, really crappy. And that was our innovation at Spreadshirt. We make like fast turnaround. We would send you a t-shirt, customized t-shirt within 24 hours, high quality. And also on dark fabric, etc. And affordable, yeah. And then also we combined it with a business model innovation. You can design, you can create your own t-shirt shop, so to say, yeah. And this gave us like sort of like a distribution for free. It was like a little bit like small website owners could create a t-shirt shop. And this was the first successful business that I started and brought me on the path to, yeah, become what I proudly can say, like one of the inspiring entrepreneurs here in Europe. And this is what I think is reflected in some of these, some of the awards. Yeah. And one of the early thinking there was, so soon after launching this concept, yeah, a friend came to me and said, what you're doing is great. And look, here in the United States, there's a company called Coffee Press. They're doing it too. You're a Coffee Press copycat. So I'm like, okay, I'm a copycat. I'd never heard of them before. Was not a copycat. They had like this white t-shirt print, different printing technology, but they had this shop partner thing. Yeah. And back then the thinking was, okay, if we stay in Germany, if we stay in Europe, at some point, the United States companies will come over and will crush us. So it's hard, but before waiting for that to happen, let's go and expand to the United States. Yeah. So being a bootstrapped t-shirt printing company, we take the daring step expanding to the United States. Yeah. I went over personally first to Louisville, then whether for whatever reasons we ended up in Pittsburgh, close to Pittsburgh. So I know a few nice places in the United States, not only the typical coasts. Yeah. I studied Georgia Tech. Built up a business in Louisville, then in Pittsburgh. So lots of fun. But there we ended up being one of the first clients of the Facebook, you know, basically selling t-shirts online. And this is what inspired us. And this time, I have to admit, we started a copycat, like a Facebook copycat then for Germany called StudiVZ, which very quickly became one of Germany's largest websites, basically adapting what Facebook did for the German market, yeah. And for the German market, it was even a bigger utility. Remember, today Facebook, social media, we all take it for granted. This was the world back then. This was 2005. None of this existed. It was a tremendous value to bring this transparency and enable this communication. I mean, I started business in a time there was no LinkedIn. It's so practical today. It's like amazing, yeah. So this was then the next innovation, yeah. So one innovation leads to the next is a little bit the message here, too.
Yes. As you said, Louisville, that's right. The Louisville in Kentucky, right? My brain just short circuit, bourbon. And,
Bourbon, the Derby.
I totally admit they're very nice places, in the United States outside the coast. Also, where I studied in Texas, there's some very nice places. Go Midwestern State, by the way. And, basically, I was also, one of the, users of StudiVZ, back when I was studying in Texas, 2006. Basically, I had a Facebook account. At this time, you could only get it with a college email. And then I also kind of copied my ID, there and did everything the same in StudiVZ, just in German. You sold it to Holzbrink Ventures and it had some iterations afterwards. StudiVZ, MindVZ got expanded and so on and so forth. It wasn't that successful then. Do you have any ideas what the new owners did wrong? What may have worked for them as a strategy?
Yeah, first of all, what did the old owners, what did us as a founding team did wrong? Yeah. But one thing is like I think we limited ourselves selling it to the wrong party. Yeah. If we would have been strong enough, good enough, we would not have sold it at all. Yeah. And maybe it would be a little bit of a different world today. The second best option would have to be to sell it to Facebook. Yeah. And would have and it would have become something great, and we would have been closer together with the Facebook founders, etc. So we had an offer from them. Basically, we decided to turn it down, together with some of our business angels back then, and sold it to a German newspaper instead. And what I learned from that is, like, first of all, it's not desirable to sell your company, right? Sometimes still, I don't know, it's desirable to have an exit. We sold. I think it's desirable to build something like large independent company. That's what's desired. Like, Facebook is great, right? All the smaller social networks that maybe made some money being exited. Yeah, it's nice. It's a great success for the founders, but it's not the same. Yeah, order of magnitude than becoming a Facebook. Yeah. So that's one learning there. Yeah. And this comes also with an ecosystem. In the United States, the ecosystem for entrepreneurship, for business, for venture capital is like ahead. Yeah. So I think, like, when Mark Zuckerberg, when they had an offer to sell Facebook, they resisted. I think back then it was like $1 billion+ pre-revenue, right? They resisted. We had an €85 million+ pre-revenue, inflation adjusted, probably something like 150, 200 million today. And we took it. Yeah. And then the new owner, did not really know. They've been not experienced in digital. They've been neither experienced in digital internet, nor they've been experienced in M&A. And the combination of the two led basically to going down. People in Germany say, like, oh yeah, you lost against Facebook, because of today, Facebook is also the standard in Germany. I tell the dad always, no, we didn't lose against the Facebook. We basically screwed up the integration. We lost against ourselves. We lost against execution. Yeah. So you can imagine we divested something that was existed for 14 months and live for 10 months. We divested for this. Yeah. Back then, 85. And 1 year after the new owner acquired it, there've been only one or two engineers left compared to when he acquired it. So we lost basically all engineers. Yeah. And as you can imagine, in a tech company, that's not good to survive. Yeah. So it was almost like a feature freeze for a couple, 3 years, just keeping up with the demand, no new features, no this, no that. And yeah, Facebook gradually took over, yeah. But still, great learning for us, great experience, great success. In Germany, everybody, not everybody, but like a certain generation knows it because of everyone was on the side, yeah. So it's pretty cool.
And I think it's still around, even though I have not visited it for years. You said it's not desirable to sell a company, but when I look a little bit through your CV, maybe it's because it's a little bit tilted towards the company you sold, because then they become public and it gets newspaper coverage. My understanding is that you also been involved in founding of Brands for Friends, which was sold to eBay, Mr. Specs, which, by the way, as we're recording this, just went public a few days ago.
So it didn't get sold. Perfect.
Yes, of course. And you've been involved in the founding of Cirque, an e-scooter company, which was sold last year to Bird. All companies most people will know who follow us on a regular basis, but you actually sold them even though you say it's not desirable. Can you take us through your logic, what you did there?
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, I had to go to my own learning curve myself. Right. And, that's one answer to that. I'm very proud. The very first company that we mentioned, Spreadshirt, the t-shirt company, for example, we didn't sell. Yeah. We still own it. Like, as founders, we have investors, but we still own it. And also the plan is to keep it to keep it independent. Yeah. And, sometimes there might be like special situations where it might make sense to sell because of something is on the wrong path or someone else indeed is the better owner. So every rule has its exception. But the good companies, the great companies, usually the founders are the best, owners. Yeah. And specific case of both Brands for Friends and Cirque. I think we made mistakes while starting the companies, while founding it. We made mistakes in the DNA of the companies and it put us on a dangerous path, and we ended up having to settle. Yeah. So while it's still a good success in both cases, even to some extent, maybe extraordinary, and this is really like on a as we say in Germany, complaining on a high level. Yeah. First world problems. Well, it's still good successes. They're not great successes. I mean, we sold Brands for Friends was like a shopping club, yeah, fashion shopping club. We sold like 3 years after incorporation for 150 million to eBay. This was like 2009 or 10 it was sold, yeah. So, but what we had, the opportunity was to create something that is worth in the billions, yeah. So on the one hand, yes, a success. On the other hand, we screwed up, you know. And a little bit the same, I have to admit, with Cirque. We did not make it. Our vision was to build like this, make this like one of the global leaders, as an independent company. And for various reasons, we made I made some poor choices in the original, setup. So, second best option, and divest. Still a good success. Still amazing, amazing time. We learned a lot. For me also, like hardware, skate hardware, homologated hardware, was a great experience. Yeah. Fast time to market, regulations within the cities, lots of great talent. So like a big shout out to all of the Cirque alumni. There's quite a lot. We bring, it went from 0 to 1,000 people in less than 12 months, something like that. Yeah. Both like within the headquarters, but also, basically people handling scooters on the street. That's quite amazing hypergrowth. So amazing experience, good success, but not the ultimate goal. Yeah. So the ultimate goal, large independent companies, Delivery Hero is the best example. This is the biggest success also, a company that I founded, co-founded. So this is now, and this is also why I'm one more reason why I'm well known in Germany, at least. It's one of the largest internet companies in Germany. Yeah, now like market cap around 30 billion US, present in both in a few European countries, but also global, very international. So Middle East, Asia, Latin America. We're not in the US, not yet. Let's see how this is going to go. Yeah, but this would be more of a blueprint. Yeah, for companies that we aspire to build. And now within the next batch, so to say, the companies that I'm working with, supporting, starting, and I think like incorporating all these learnings and staying ambitious. Yeah. And looking for the next order of magnitude, which I trust is, yeah, I believe is again, very ambitious. If you come from the 30 billion market cap success, you want the hundreds of billions. Yeah. So this is, very hard to achieve, but at least being one order of magnitude below, we can credibly shoot for this goal. And I think to achieve that, we need to build something that solves real problems and brings us civilization to the next level. Yeah. And here we identified a few fields. One is very literally, and it is what is like called the urban air mobility, the flying car, so to say, although it's not a car, urban air mobility, air taxi, whatever the words are. I think it's like an amazing product that brings civilization really to the next level. So that's one field that we identified. And then the other is like energy, clean, abundant energy. And these are the fields that I'm working on today, and aspiring to build companies that are large, independent, teaming up with product and tech focused founders, and have a few very interesting, amazing companies that we support as Team Global. And I'm very excited, very proud, very happy, but also anxious, impatient. It's a lot of work.
I totally see that. We may add for everybody who doesn't know, as you said, it's not present everywhere. Delivery Hero, formerly known as Lieferheld here in Germany, which actually means the same. It was one of those apps where you could order food from restaurants. With the Americans may know Grubhub, Uber Eats, or stuff like this. So it's a competitor. I'm sure you see a lot of differences, but for most people out there, you are in this area and that's sufficient for them to know. You talking about Team Global. This is like a revamp of Team Europe. It's actually your company right now. Would you describe it as a company builder, as a company accelerator, as a VC, or as a mix of all of that?
Yeah, I would say it's a mix of all of that. Basically, it's a technology holding company, yeah, that is active across, like, yeah, not all, but like most of the stages of company life cycle, so to say, with the goal to build these large independent companies that can make it like to the, yeah, to become public companies, with high liquidity, tens of billions, yeah, and maybe like a few of them will break out to make it to the hundreds of billions while using technology to deliver genuine value to the world, long-term value. I believe this is the least risky proposition. I mean, so many risks if you start a business, yeah. I believe to minimize risk, if you do something that the world really needs, that's already a good start. You get tailwind from the, I call it like the tailwind from the universe, yeah. Good example is also Tesla, electrification of cars. You get some tailwind from the universe if you go on such a mission, yeah. And but here for us, on the one hand, it's like starting of companies. Yeah, Delivery Hero was a company started by Team Europe, and Leva Health too, so both of them. Cirque as well. So starting companies. Now we're preparing a couple of new ones that we start ourselves, so to say, as Team Global. But then also we have what I call like large minority positions where we team up with existing entrepreneurs, usually product and tech focused, usually great entrepreneurs, but still, sometimes not as experienced yet and not as focused as business, more focused on the product and tech, teaming up with them, both in terms of capital, but also like hands-on work, yeah. Rolling up the sleeves, using the expertise that we have to support them. That happens often in the field of how to build the organizations. Yeah, like hands-on, identifying candidates, helping to shape the C-level, helping them to get engineers, like all of that. So that's the second bucket. So either starting companies, large minority positions with these inspirational, aspirational, product-driven founders. And then the third one would be more like minority positions where we invest, support them maybe for a while, but are like not as heavily involved. But still that, yeah, it's good win-win situations with these type of investments and helps us to grow, to learn. While generating returns that again like fuels the system and also add value for these portfolio companies. Yeah. Here, for example, in the food delivery space, Volt would be one, like some people in Europe might know it. Yeah. In the United States, we support ShareBite, we support Mercato. We have a few companies in the aviation space that fit into this bucket.
Mm-hmm. What many of our frequent listeners and watchers will know is, for example, Volocopter, which is, as we've read in the news in March, currently thinking about doing a SPAC deal and getting listed there. Oh, there's nothing you can tell about that?
Oh, I can talk about urban air mobility, VTOL, vertical takeoff and landing. Yeah, so like we backed Volocopter, invested in Volocopter something like almost 5 years ago now. I believe it's 4 years ago, and saw this field growing, contributed to this field growing. It's again like a fascinating field, and some of the companies just went public via SPAC acquisitions. So there is this persistent rumor that Volocopter is planning the same, yeah. And this obviously, I can't comment. If they would do this, I could not say anything about it, yeah. So, but one thing that I can say is that they have an amazing concept that is, yeah, really great because of its fairly simple. And it's built all around safety mindset. So the likelihood is very high that this is going to be one of the first, or maybe even the first urban air mobility company where you will be able to take a ride while being at the same safety level as with a commercial airliner. Yeah. So it's safer than a helicopter, much safer than automotive even. Yeah. We forget often as that automotive, it's not just that dramatic as a plane crashing, but streets are a dangerous place. Yeah. So again, Volocopter is one of the pioneers of this still evolving early field. Yeah.
I actually had to smile when you talked about also automotive is a dangerous place. Driving on the streets, everybody knows an idiot from the last few weeks who just cut in somewhere, made you step on the brakes or something else. I think everybody can feel that. And we may add for everybody who doesn't know that Volocopter is a company that offers something that looks like a drone on steroids. So it has a lot of rotors going upwards. It looks like a small remote control drone, but it's much larger and it can actually transport people in there. So that's what we are talking about. And as I said, there's a rumor going on that there's a SPAC deal on the table, but obviously for even legal reasons, you cannot talk about it. When I've been seeing a lot what you did, basically you're an all digital entrepreneur, a tech entrepreneur, and you've been talking about those opportunities you see. For example, Luca, one of the founders of GetPenta, talked about that there was a moment where the app store opened that enabled companies like Uber, like Snapchat, like WhatsApp to become successful, and the omnipresence of the devices. Do you think what enabled you, and where do you see options right now that open up opportunities on a large level, something like this? Because I do believe a hell lot of people back in the days did not see anything happen in the app store besides like how's it called? Oh, those Angry Birds, right?
Yeah. So enablers, sometimes they come, you don't even see them coming. Obviously a big enabler was the internet, right? The internet per se, that was the biggest enabler. But then, for example, and this is also goes back to Team Europe, one of the enablers for me was the political enabler. And this was like the monetary union in Germany, just around the time, not in Germany, in Europe, obviously, right? When the euro was introduced. Before that, you had like all these different currencies. Yeah. So more complexity. So for Spreadshirt to be able to bootstrap a company like Spreadshirt, the monetary union was indeed key. Yeah. And some simplifications in the laws. And so this was really important for me. I'm really grateful that this happened. We take it for granted sometimes. Yeah. And I'm a proponent of even more simplifications across Europe. Yeah, we're still not there. So that was one that is like sort of political. And on the tech side now, like moving from all digital to more hardware, the urban air mobility, for example, is enabled by how fast are the chips, what is the flight control, but also like electrifications. So electrification is a major enabler for us, yeah. And still here again, like regulatory will be very interesting. Regulatory will be interesting, but then there will be new enablers because of like with all this new, there will be vertiports, yeah. So this will make it like easier and accessible for new entrants to offer like services in here, yeah. And then one next enabler on the horizon I see is like clean, abundant energy. Yeah. Let's see how fast we can unlock make energy, keep it as cheap or make it even cheaper compared to what it is today while making it clean. So this will enable a lot of things. And this is like my perspective. There's more enablers, like for example, biotech. Yeah. here I'm looking now, we're looking at particle accelerators. Those are like tools then that enable us to analyze tissue, viruses, like all sorts of bio applications, but also material sciences, etc. So there are many now more like going on simultaneously. The blockchain is one more. Yeah. So like it's probably 10 of them.
And what I also want to ask you, because we are already running a little bit over time, but I was totally sure that I can talk to you for quite some time with another question, because we do have a lot of entrepreneurs listening to our podcast, watching our YouTube videos. And what I found very interesting when I was preparing a little bit for this interview was that with companies like Circ or Delivery Hero, you entered at a late stage, so you have not been one of the fast movers. Can you share some advice with us on how you can still win?
Yeah, it's interesting. Sometimes as an entrepreneur, specifically as a first-time entrepreneur, that is what I learned, like being a young person, people try to think like too complicated. They want to solve too many things at once. Yeah. For example, now with urban air mobility, is it the right way to go full electric? Or maybe it's hybrid electric first. Yeah. Before I solve like both problems, affordable vertical takeoff and landing system, affordable, quiet and safe and electric. That's quite a lot. Yeah. So maybe a hybrid system might be the right thing. So here, by the way, we're also working here with our French partner, Frankie Zapata, an amazing engineer. We're working on something that will be unveiled soon, and maybe a slight hint that it might become something hybrid. It's going to be super fascinating what we have there. So please put it on your watch list. So one thing is like, don't try to solve too many problems at once. Yeah. And then one other is like if you address a large enough market, it's not too nichey, then it's enough or easy to add only a few things. An example of with Delivery Hero, the enabler there, by the way, obviously was the mobile phone and the internet and that it was like prevalent. And there were already companies that evolved in the first wave on the internet during the dot-com bubble and survived the dot-com bubble, although nobody was online yet. I mean, like when everybody was talking about being online and the internet was all over the place in the media, but like nobody really had it, right? And at this point, to start a food delivery company was a poor proposition. Interestingly, those who back then were financed went under, those who bootstrapped survived. And then when we came with Delivery Hero or Lieferheld, those who survived, they were there, but somehow they lacked things in the DNA. So, and this enabled us to come not really as a fast follower, but like as the next innovator. Yeah. And the innovation was simple. One was, for example, they didn't even have online payment. Yeah. So you need to pay cash at the door. It sounds funny, right? But one other was like they would transmit the orders via a fax machine. Yeah. And what we introduced was, there was like an order terminal. Yeah. That made it like more reliable and also gave a back channel to it. Imagine the fax machine is out of paper. Then the order is lost and you sit at home and are hungry, right? Not a great customer experience. So one more innovation that we brought was like using online marketing professionally. We could do this. Yeah. So like it's a bunch of small innovation, bringing a field to the next level. Yeah. So pick something where already someone exists and is large, maybe established, but no longer agile, has some legacy, and then you have a good chance to innovate this field. So that's the pattern I've seen at a fast follower. Yeah? And with Circ, yeah, it was also driven by the desire to play in mobility hardware while also using the energy that we had as an entrepreneurial team while waiting through the long development cycles of VTOLs, yeah, because of coming from building purely digital businesses where it can be live in 3 to 6 months, to enter a field of building aircraft, it's quite a change, yeah. So Circ was something like perfectly in between, where you have hardware, supply chain, all of that, But still, like, fast time to market, global rollout. So it was pretty cool.
Okay, my understanding is now that you can be successful if there's a large incumbent, if they're not agile, and you can just keep adding small innovations step by step, and soon you'll be much better than your competitor. Would that be one of the possible lines of advice?
Say again. Good.
When you have a large incumbent and this one is not agile enough, you still have a good chance to win if you're fast and adding small innovations, small improvements, and you don't stop making your product better. And at the end, you'll be much better than the incumbent. That would be a possible way to win.
Yes, exactly. That would be the possible way to win. And you very often see this. It's very hard to be agile, yeah, for large companies. I mean, like, it's going to be interesting, for example, ShareBuy, the company that I mentioned in New York, yeah, how this will play out. They focus on corporations. They have corporate social responsibility deeply ingrained in their DNA. So this is an entrepreneur on a mission, and he's very focused on this B2B food delivery situations where you deliver into an office, and it's a lot of nitty-gritty details, yeah? So curious how whoever is there now, RepHub and DoorDash, how they will deal with that. But this I love, yeah. And here I love is one of things, innovations, and the other thing is like what I like about ShareBuy is being mission driven, doing the right thing for the planet, doing the right thing for society. It adds some extra energy. And ShareBuy, they donate a significant tile of their of their profits, of their revenue. They give away to malnourished kids in the United States. Yeah, so they support them. I mean, like, it's a very sad that this problem even does exist, but they're really solving it, making an impact. They make it also easy for corporations to make an impact. Yeah, so it's a very cool story. I'm very proud to be a part of it, small part of it.
I understand. Plus, I deduce from what we've been talking about, something like, to close out the interview, that you're not the, as they describe themselves in the past, the big picture guys, no details, big picture guys. But actually, it's the details I take from the interview that makes you win or lose. As you said, paying cash when you receive the money, when you receive the food, getting feedback, not using fax machines, stuff like that. So basically, the secret to winning is in the details.
Yeah, both is true. The secret to winning is like to have the vision, bet on the right patterns, and those are basically to some extent easy, right? At least, like, you start with technology, you start with delivering genuine value to what does society really need, not only what it thinks it needs today, what does it need tomorrow. So like the big vision, if you run in the wrong directions, the best execution will not help you, right? So you can and then on the other hand, if you have a great vision, it's worth zero. You have a great idea, it's worth zero if you do not execute it. Yeah. And the execution is about like a lot of the, nitty gritty, details.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And the execution finally makes the successful entrepreneur, because he has to work a lot and he has to pay attention to the details, and there has to be one spot where all of it comes together, where the decisions are made, and that has to be him. So
fully agree.
Great. I'm totally happy that we agree here on this. Lukas, thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you here. Hopefully I'll have you back in some time. Once again, congratulations to your special award from the German Startup Association. And best of luck for all the ventures you're going to start or assist with Team Global. Everybody who'd like to learn more, they can go down here in the show notes, and there will be a link to the Team Global website where people can reach out to your team and pitch some ideas and set pitch decks and all of that stuff, right?
Yeah. Most welcome. Looking forward. Thanks a lot.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you are a professional looking at the European startup scene, Germany is a place you cannot miss. Fortunately for you, there is StartupRad.eu, the authority on German startups. This English-only podcast brings you fresh interviews each week. Most likely, you have never heard or read anything on these startups before in English, but you will in the future. Be ahead of the curve and subscribe to StartupRad.io podcast, or check for the StartupRad.io internet radio station. Check your Alexa for the StartupRad.io skill as well.